Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to take the gloves off. Welcome to Politics Lobby 4. It's time to get out of your seat and make a little noise. Now get ready for the truth. The Politics Cafe. Frontline with Kit Lane. The Extreme Court. And America Today Live. Please try to remain calm. This will be your last warning. Welcome to Politics Lobby 4.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and fellow conversationalists around the world, and welcome once again to the Politics Cafe at www.herncode.com and the ASI Radio Network. The Politics Cafe is a small cafe located on an isolated stretch of the information superhighway, where we get together once a week and grill up some fresh topics for your digestion. Politics Cafe is broadcast from a Pal Talk chat room. You're all invited in. It is the Politics Lobby 4 Secure Our Borders voice room. Under social issues and government, on Pal Talk at www.paltalk.com, another wonderful website out there. Folks, got a little bit of a different show lined up tonight. We have been, usually I come in with a little bit of news, and I have some news for later on here tonight. I'm not going to get into that right away, and I've actually been doing some soul searching over the last few months, and listening to a lot of people, listening to my wife for one. Who is telling me that what I'm about to perform tonight is something I should not do, that I should wait, that I should act like a journalist and look at everything objectively and, just report on the facts. Just keep yourself a little bit of distance from everything, but at this point in time, I find that I cannot do this. We are at a crisis in this country. The crisis being the fact that the Democrats may indeed, in fact, win control of the White House next year. It has come too close. Here on the right side of the aisle, we have a lot of good candidates. But every single one of these candidates, except for one, I think bears too many flaws for me to get behind. I've been looking at them all, and I'm just having a problem with all of them except for one. And the one guy that I have looked at, who I have got to get behind at this point in time, doesn't seem to be getting enough media attention, is probably the single most conservative candidate that we have found out there. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that he's low key. However, he is well spoken, very logical person, very to the point. Obviously, has taken a look at all of the problems that are facing America today, has come up with logical, realistic answers for the issues that we face, for the things that are happening, for the war in Iraq, the war on terror, for our health care system, for the issue of guns out there. For the issue of abortion, for the issue of fair trade around the world. And we've gotten to a point in time where a couple of the candidates just seem to be getting too much airplay on the other networks, and this one candidate is not getting enough. He's just not getting enough. And this man's name is Duncan Hunter. And tonight I am kicking off a campaign to get Duncan Hunter nominated as the Republican candidate for the President of the United States of America. Folks, I cannot say enough good things about this man. And we are pushing it off tonight. I'm urging everyone, you're going to hear this 100 times through the show tonight, to please take a look at www.gohunter08.com. Research these issues for yourself. I'm going to be going through some of these. We're going to play some of the videos from his site here tonight. And you're going to sit here and hear nothing, probably nothing but about Duncan Hunter tonight. But I'm pleased. I have finally found a candidate that I can sit down and say, this man holds the exact same ideals as I do. You know, I look at every election when we go into this as a very personal thing. You know, and you can call me selfish if you want to. I have no problem with that. All right? Because I believe that what's good for me is good for everybody. You know, I'm not out to take anything away from anybody. I'd like to see everybody have the exact same things that I have, and then more. I'd like to see people have more things than I do because it gives me something to shoot for. But these things are all responsibility. They're all part and parcel of this great country called America. They're all part and parcel of the great concept that comes behind it called liberty. These things are in jeopardy today. We have, coming down from the other side of the aisle, nothing but just plain socialists. People who are out to just plainly redistribute the wealth, try their damnedest to carry us from cradle to grave in a host of government programs, including entitlements. They're trying to tell us that they're going to be able to supply us with free national health care. They're going to be able to take care of us in the morning. We got Hillary Clinton out there saying she's going to provide daycare for everyone out there. Quality, affordable daycare, she puts it. Well, why is that? Well, let's face it, in order for her to make any of these ends meet, every single person in America has got to be working. Nobody's going to be able to stay home. You know, there will be no parents watching kids. They're going to need the affordable daycare in order to pay off what she claims is necessary for everyone out there to enjoy the fruitful lives, to enjoy the American dream. When I say that it's all that's necessary out there for the American dream, it is just one thing, and that is the concept of liberty. And that is what it is all about. And no one out there has proven to me that he is going to be a better guardian for the concept of liberty than Duncan Hunter. No one at all. Duncan Hunter has got, on his website, he has got the issues pegged. And right to life, he states that he would amend the Constitution and provide blanket protection to all unborn children from the moment of conception by prohibiting any state or federal law that denies the personhood of the unborn. Well, let's face this, folks. All right, the liberals know darn well that the unborn is a person. Look at the Lacey Peterson case last year. Did the liberals have any problem whatsoever accusing Eric Peterson of murdering two people? His wife, Lacey, and their unborn child. But, of course, what is it? That unborn child doesn't quite have a right, you know? If Lacey wanted to abort that child, oh, well, all of a sudden it's not a person anymore. It's just a fetus. Well, I'm sorry. All right, but as a Catholic, as a member of the Knights of Columbus, as a moral human being, all right, I'm sorry, elective abortions for unwanted children, it just doesn't flush here. And I'm sorry, but to me it's nothing more than murder. You know, as Ronald Reagan once said, well, doesn't any murderer try to just justify his actions? Well, that's exactly what's going on there. Duncan is on the right side of this. He is looking at this. Okay, he has introduced the Right to Life Act, which would legally define personhood as the moment of conception, and therefore guarantee all constitutional rights and protections, including life, to the unborn without utilizing a constitutional amendment. Doesn't get any nicer than that. I'm sorry, but this man's head is on straight. He is thinking logically, he's thinking clearly, and he's thinking with a good heart. I love the guy. The more I look at this, you know, he has a philosophy for appointing judicial appointments. You know, he supports people with good judgment, proven values, a belief in God, and a heart for the least of us, including the unborn. He believes it's important that those sitting on the bench understand that they have a responsibility to strictly interpret our nation's laws and not, I repeat, not legislate from the bench with their own political or social agenda. He will not appoint judges who do not believe that the unborn are precious and should be protected. All right, and he's got a click here. You know, let's stop and face it. What is abortion all about except for, you know, denying the rights to someone that has absolutely no right whatsoever, doesn't even have a say in the outcome? You know, terrible thing. But the man's head is on straight here. This is Duncan Hunter for president, folks, at GoHunter08.com. Please take a good look at this. This man has got to get out there. He is going to be the best guardian for this country in the future, starting in 2008. Okay? federal legislation and votes. This man has sponsored a couple of pieces of legislation which should interest you. The Child Interstate Abortion Notification Act, which would amend the federal criminal code to prohibit transporting a minor across state lines to obtain an abortion. And if this action circumvents the minor's native state parental involvement law. All right, well, he voted in favor of this bill, and it passed the House 270 to 157. Where it got from there, I don't know. It sounds to me like it got buried in the Senate, which, you know, you would not find to, with the way the Senate's been acting the last couple of years, you know, since the Democrats have gotten in there, nothing's gotten done, which isn't a bad thing altogether. But still, there are things out there that need to be addressed. He supported the Fetus Farming Prohibition Act, banning the practice of fetal farming, the creation of embryos specifically for the purpose of scientific research. Basically, he's not in favor of Frankenstein, all right, or any of Frankenstein's kind of work out there. He voted against the Stem Cell Research Enhancement Act of 2005, which would have directed the Secretary of Health and Human Services to conduct and support research that utilizes human embryonic stem cells, regardless of the date on which the stem cells were derived from a human embryo. And he voted against amendments offered to the National Defense Authorization Act, permitting taxpayer-funded military facilities overseas to be used to support abortions on demand for military women and military dependents. He voted against amendments providing UN funding to groups that supported coercive abortion programs. Well, the man's definitely got his head on there. The marriage issue, okay? We're all hearing a lot about constitutional issues and constitutional reform here. You know, and the gay marriage issue, which, by the way, is nothing more than something that has been brought about by judicial fiat. You know, the Supreme Judicial Court of Massachusetts ordering the Congress of Massachusetts to go out and amend its constitution to allow gays to get married. Well, Duncan Hunter firmly believes that marriage is one of the most important social institutions we have, and that it is central to promoting family values and raising children in a healthy environment. It's for this reason that he co-sponsored and voted in favor of House Joint Resolution 88, given by Musgrave of Colorado, which proposes an amendment to the U.S. Constitution declaring that in the United States, marriage shall consist solely of the union of a man and a woman. I firmly believe that children need the unique influence offered by both a father and a mother. And he's right. And obviously, this is a place he's got his head on straight. Let's face it, folks, marriage takes two opposites. It takes a yin and a yang. It doesn't take two yins, it doesn't take two yangs. It is an achievement. Every single one of us out there that had to go out and woo and coo a spouse knows the ladder he had to climb to finally get the other person to say, I do. And yet people out there want to cut that short and just say, well, hey, I got my buddy over here. He already says I do. He already does. We need to be married. Nope, sorry. Wrong answer, okay? You know, marriage is an institution. It's beyond an institution. It's where two people are joined together to become one person. And that is something that, you know, I'm sorry, but the liberals out there just can't seem to understand this. Of course, you know, to them, hey, abortion, that's their answer to marriage. You know, just terrible, terrible things. But at any rate, folks, we have a man on cue here. His name is Duncan Hunter, and he is going to stand behind all of this. All right, parental rights. He's up on this one in a big way. Education choice and homeschooling. Okay? Strongly believes that Congress needs to remain actively involved in ensuring parents' rights are protected. That's you and I, folks. Our rights to educate our children the way we believe it's right. He has significant concerns with recent judicial rulings recognizing de facto or psychological parents, individuals who assist in raising a child. These types of decisions undermine parental authority, allowing any adult with an association with the child to make parental claims. Wrong answer. That means teachers, other people, daycare providers can all of a sudden start acting like parents. Nope. Wrong answer. You know, Duncan Hunter, obviously, once again, got his head firmly on his shoulders and taking the lead here. He supports taking the actions necessary to strengthen our public educational system. And school vouchers, once again, coming to the forefront. Great opportunity to provide students and their families with additional educational choices. And folks, you're going to hear about this coming down the road here, a lot more about the school vouchers. School vouchers are just a way of stimulating and creating an educational market. Let's face it, if you are handed a certain amount of money each year to send your kid to school, who are going to want to take that money and give it to the best, which means that the best schools will survive, the worst schools will get cast by the wayside. What could be better than that? You know, and you know, he's taken into consideration that approximately 2 million children are taught at home, and it's important that we make every effort to ensure that these students have the same access and opportunities to federal benefits, such as financial aid, as those who attend public school. The man's definitely got his head together here. Some of the other issues he takes, he's looking at, we're going to look at later on, the Second Amendment. He's real good on that. Taxes. And folks, I hope fully one of you guys, if you would mind keying up. I don't know. Do we have the tax video up on hand here? I don't know if we get the tax video or not, but we're going to get to it. Of course, I lost my place here real quick, but I will get it right back. Yes, tax relief and tax cuts. Duncan Hunter firmly behind the fact that we need tax reform. Okay, his first statement, that overtaxing government is the biggest contributor to creating poverty. Is this the man logically? Does he have his head on straight or what? By continuing to inhibit the economic growth and potential of our citizens, we prevent the investment capability to create jobs, increase income, and provide a stable financial environment. He believes that all citizens are deserving of tax relief and tax cutting benefits or tax cutting policies that benefit the American economy as a whole. He does not support efforts to identify segments of our society that are more deserving of a tax cut over another, and he believes that political stereotyping in this area hinders the goal of providing efficient tax relief. It is important to create a federal tax policy that is both fair to American taxpayers while at the same time ensuring that our nation meets its financial obligations. Well, is the man right or what? But what's the basic statement that he's making here? Does not support picking out particular groups to be taxed. Does not support the progressive income tax that has been killing this country for so many years. It's the wrong thing. The progressive income tax is nothing more than an attempt to shred the Declaration of Independence and the one line in it that says all men are created equal. When you have a government that turns around and taxes people at different rates, you have a government that is instituting a class system. It's instituting a caste system. And when it takes the best and brightest amongst us and penalizes them for working hard and becoming the best and the brightest, well, exactly what is it that you're promoting in your society? Can you sit there and say that you're promoting people to achieve? Can you say you're promoting people to compete with each other so that the best will rise to the top? Obviously not. All you're promoting is more business in other countries. Currently, this country has such a regressive tax policy that the best and brightest among us, and you know who they are, they're the ones that come up with the good ideas, the new inventions, the ones that go out there and work hard to find people to finance these new ideas, their new inventions, their new methods of performing older services in new ways. And what happens to them? Well, they end up taking these and the jobs that are associated and created around them and ended up going off to someplace like China or India or the Philippines or Indonesia or Malaysia or some other spot around the world where they don't have such a regressive tax system. Currently, you have quite a crop of the brightest and the best in this country taking their jobs to China, taking their ideas to China, taking their products over there, making investments in China. And why is that? Because there's a communist country sitting on the other side of the globe that has a better, easier to deal with tax system than right here in the United States of America. Now, you mean to tell me that communism has somehow or another defeated the United States of America because it can perform its job with a cheaper tax rate than here? That is a problem. That is beyond a problem. It's insane. It's beyond belief that they can actually pull this off. But yet they're doing it, folks. They're doing it to us every day, and more you can see our jobs taking off and going overseas. You know, and people wonder why we have a trade deficit and whatnot. All right, folks, we're looking here. We're working very hard tonight at getting Mr. Duncan Hunter elected to the primary. And it's quite a lot of work we have here, and I'm trying to get a little bit through here to either Bill or Willie. Guys, do we have a video on the tax situation, on what he plans to do? Duncan Hunter, by the way, is behind the fair tax. I don't know if we have a video for that or not, but the fair tax, we do have a link to it out there. Okay, no video for the fair tax. Not a problem. We will keep on moving here, and I know we're going to get the one that we have here. Along with this, along with the tax relief and tax cuts that he is looking at, okay, it's, you know, even he knows, he probably understands that the fair tax is going to be a little stretch into the future. But for the immediate future, what he's looking at, getting rid of the marriage penalty tax. Gone with that. If that isn't the most idiotic thing in the world, talk about having a detriment to having a family, to raising a family. Yeah, put a penalty on those that get married out there. I mean, what is that telling you? All of a sudden, well, you want to stay single? Man, don't do better on your taxes anyway. Another thing he's got definitely on there, working hard with, is the alternative minimum tax. That most regressive of things, one that kept me out of developing a business once upon a time, which I thought was just too regressive. Obviously, after I got whaled with that alternative minimum tax, I closed my business and went to work for somebody else. This was a much easier plan for me. The way I was looking at it, I was paying less taxes that way. And a lot of antiquated taxes out there he's looking at, too. You know, now, he does have a little thing on here about the federal telephone excise tax. Folks, actually, the federal government has looked at this, and you can get the money back that you spent on your the excise tax on your telephone for a long time. You know, that's out there. Well, yeah, I think we got into that before. Duncan Hunter also supports a balanced budget. Okay, but and he supports limiting growth in non-defense areas. Understands where we got with defense. Definitely has his head on straight with the war on terror. Okay, another thing he has really gotten down hard on here and is looking at is the property rights and eminent domain. Now, you remember right here on the show, we reported all about the Kelo versus New London and how the Supreme Court's 5-4 decision just, you know, gave local governments use of eminent domain, you know, free reign. You know, basically went out there and stated that local governments have the right to control economies in a local area and to take away from anybody that they deem necessary their property for the overall good of the economy. Well, I'm sorry, folks, but if your property is subject to being taken at any time, why would you even bother to buy property? You know, how deeply can you look into a future and say, hey, this piece of property that I'm going to buy and hold forever could be taken from me at any time by some local government, you know, just in order to enhance everyone else's economic status, except, of course, for mine when they're going to take it. You know, craziness reigns supreme there. And one of the favorites, and I got to admit, one of the biggest bugaboos that I have always said out there is one of the entitlement programs called the National Endowment of the Arts. Now, he has significant concerns with federal funding provided to the National Endowment of the Arts. You know, as many Americans know, the NEA provides direct grants to art institutions, programs of national significance, and a few limited individual grants for literature and music fellowships. Now, he believes the creative arts can play an important role in the expressive and cultural development of a society. At the same time, however, he strongly opposes using these federal funds for any group that produces material that has questionable artistic, scientific, or political value. And for that reason, he has consistently voted against funding increases for the NEA and has supported and will continue to support efforts to transfer NEA funds to school art programs. Well, kudos to you, Mr. Duncan Hunter. Thank you very much. This is one endowment that I have said right from the get-go has to go. I'm sorry, but artists are just like everyone else out there. They are tradespeople. And if they aren't any good at their trade, they're not going to make any money at it. If they are good at their trade, they are going to find a world of opportunity out there. Artists are needed in every stage of advertising. They are needed all throughout the entertainment industry. They are needed for web design. They're just needed everywhere. But you've got to be good. You've got to be an artist. And there are too many people out there at this point in time crying that the public doesn't fund my art. Well, maybe it isn't art. Did you ever stop and think about it? But art has to be looked at as a commercial venture, just exactly like everything else. It is a commercial enterprise. If your art is good and people are willing to pay for it, then you could say, yeah, okay, I'm doing fine. But if you can't find anybody out there that's willing to pay you for your art, you have absolutely no right coming to the rest of us and saying, I'm a support me. No. No, no, and no again. Get a job. All right? Obviously, you are not an artist because you are not making any money at it. Go and find a job. The man's got his head on straight here. Where's he going to put them funds? Back in education. Does it get any better than that? I'm sorry. Not there. Not there. This, if for that issue alone, I would go and stand behind Duncan Hunter all the way to the grave. And I am. Like I said before, I have committed to him. Folks, you can find all of this at GoHunter08.com. Okay, he also believes that he can educate students more effectively by returning school curriculum prerogatives to the state, local communities, and most important, to the family. You know, state agencies charged with conducting education policies do not need expensive and inefficient mandates from a federal agency. And he supports streamlining responsibilities of the U.S. Department of Education toward a goal of working in cooperation with local and state governments to meet local and state learning levels. Very good. Okay? This is smart. You want to take this idea of a homogenous education system and allow communities to do it themselves. And this, folks, I cannot stress the importance of this. It can't be stressed strong enough. People have got to turn around and take a look and say, look, the education that my child needs to survive in the climate of my state is not the same education that a child needs to survive in a climate in a different state. You don't know. You have no idea what's going on in that state. But what you end up with is a nation full of kids that all have the exact same education and cannot end up, finding a real job out there. Okay, now, one of the bigger ones here, fair trade. We're going to get down on it. Duncan has got the smarts for fair trade. No doubt about it in my mind. None. Okay, folks, we have a video on fair trade coming up here. I urge everybody to watch this. I'm going to take a few minutes.
I'm Congressman Duncan Hunter, and I want to talk to you a little bit about our trade with the rest of the world, and particularly with Communist China. Let me tell you what's happening in our trade with the rest of the world and the reason why we are having massive trade deficits. First, people think that we have free trade. There is no free trade, because we signed a bad deal with almost all the other trading nations. And let me tell you what the deal is. If another nation is importing this chair to the United States, and that chair has maybe $17 in taxes, let's say it costs $100 and $17 in taxes have been paid in China to make that chair. When that chair is brought to the water's edge to be imported to us in the United States, the Chinese government gives the maker of that chair a rebate for $17. They give them all their taxes back. So that company now is working tax-free if it exports to the United States. Now, when the American chair is exported to China and it gets to the water's edge at China, the Chinese government gives us a bill for $17. So they've given a subsidy to their guys for $17. They've given a penalty to our guys for $17. That means before any competition even takes place, the person who makes his manufacturing products in China has a 34-point advantage on the American producer. Now, you know something that's funny? We have that deal with the entire world. That means that a manufacturer here in the United States who has to pay income taxes, has to pay property taxes in the U.S., is basically taxed twice. He pays his taxes. A foreign dealer who makes his product in China or France or Japan has all of his taxes refunded by his government, and when he gets to our shores, we don't give him any taxes. So our guys pay two taxes, two sets of taxes. The other guys pay zero. And that imbalance is sweeping American products off the shelf around the world. That's a bad deal. In fact, you know, in 1973, when we entered this international trade deal, the main staff report from the Finance Committee in the United States Senate said this was a major blunder for us to have signed this deal that allowed every other country in the world to double tax us and get away with no taxes for their people. How'd you like to have a manufacturing plant and the guy on the other side of the street doesn't pay any income taxes? You'd have to hit a home run every day with your product just to break even. Well, let me tell you, I'm running for President of the United States. I understand the bad trade deal that we signed. And I'm going to be a little bit like Ronald Reagan. When he saw a bad arms control deal, he junked that deal and he brought the other guys back to the table for another round of negotiations. Well, you know, we've got one thing that the other countries don't have. We have the market. If they want to access our market, they're going to have to give us even treatment. They're going to have to give us treatment that mirrors the treatment that we give them. So if we don't tax their products, they can't tax our products. You know something else I think we're going to have to do with manufacturing? We have lost so much manufacturing to other countries. We're going to have to do some special things to get it back. And let me tell you why I'm concerned about manufacturing. For the last 4 years, I've been chairman of the Armed Services Committee. A couple of years ago, when roadside bombs started to hurt our troops in Iraq, I sent my industrial teams out in America to try to find one company left that could still make high-grade armor steel plate that we could pin on the sides of the Humvees to protect them against roadside bombs. We only found one company left in America that could still make high-grade armor steel plate. We are losing our manufacturing base. And a lot of it, you know, we're losing to communist China, and that also bothers me from a security standpoint. Because China is taking hundreds of billions of American trade dollars, and they're using our trade dollars to buy ships and planes and military equipment, some of which they're aiming back at us. Well, that's not right, and that's a security threat. And lastly, you know, China is cheating on trade just to make sure that we never win a trade competition. The way they're cheating is by devaluing their currency by 40%. That means that if they have a chair that's made in China, and it's got a price tag on it for $100, and let's say it's sitting on a showroom floor, let's say in France, and next to it is a chair made in the United States that also has a price tag of $100. By devaluing their currency by 40%, the government of China basically walks by that showroom floor and they mark down the price of their product by 40%. So they take their $100 chair down to $60 and say, wouldn't you rather buy the Chinese chair? It's now 40% less than the American chair. That dynamic that I've explained very simply is wiping American products off the shelf, not only in the United States, but around the world. That's cheating. Subsidizing your industry, even under the trade deal that we signed, is cheating. Well, I'm going to stop China from cheating on trade. Now, let me tell you, there's one thing that American presidents do that nobody else can do, and that is to negotiate trade deals with other countries. No American businessman can walk up and say, I want to negotiate my own deal with the government of China or the government of Japan. It takes a government to negotiate a good trade deal. I will negotiate fair trade deals that will give American workers a chance to win and give our businesses a chance to win and keep a profit. And you know something else I think we're going to have to do? Because we've lost so much of our manufacturing base, we've lost 3 million jobs in the last 5 or 6 years. We're going to have to do something special to level that playing field. We need to eliminate all taxes on American manufacturing. If we take taxes down to zero for companies that will stay in the United States and employ American workers at those good high-level manufacturing wages, if we do that and we take down all taxes and eliminate all federal taxes for those companies, those businessmen will have a couple of bucks left in their pockets. They'll hire more people, they'll expand their plants, they'll buy better machinery, and the new workers coming into America's manufacturing plants will themselves be paying taxes. They'll be paying payroll withholding taxes. And you know something? We'll actually have more revenues coming into the federal government than we have right now by taking taxes to zero for manufacturing. If you want to join me in making America great again and restoring this great industrial base, you know, I call it the arsenal of democracy. You know, in World War II, one of the great Japanese leaders told his colleagues, he said, we're not going to win World War II against the Americans. And he was asked why. And he said, because they have got the best industrial base in the world. They will beat us with their industrial base. Well, that great industrial base, that arsenal of democracy, won World War I, World War II, and the Cold War. We've got to make sure it's still here if another conflict comes around. You know, in World War II, we made a bomber every 60 minutes at Ford, and we made hundreds of thousands of tanks. We made 36 billion yards of textiles in this country. We need to make manufacturing great again in this country. And I want you to join me. I'm Duncan Hunter. I'm running for the presidency of the United States, and I believe in jobs.
And there you hear it, folks, from the man of any better. He's obviously got his finger right on the button. He is obviously out there ready and willing to negotiate a fair trade deal with the rest of the country, you know, with the rest of the world. Whose side is he on? He's on our side. You know, that's why I say, folks, look, don't do this for everybody else out there. Do this for yourself. Go to www.gohunter08.com. Take a look at his site. Look at what he's got. And be prepared to vote for the man. That's all we're asking here for tonight. Yes, it would be very nice if you could go over to where his spot is and donate a few bucks. If you can give him five, if you can give him 10, if you give him 20, if you're feeling generous, throw him $100. He has to get out there. People have to hear this man's message. This is a conservative. This is somebody who is working with our best interest in mind. Bring this country back up to the strength that it once was. Bring back liberty. Bring back those jobs. You know, take our economy and push it to new heights. He's absolutely right when he talks about dropping the tax on manufacturing down to zero. He knows full well that enough people will come back to work here. They will be making enough money that the income tax will more than make up for the amount of taxes that are leveled on manufacturers. And in the end, let's face it, how much are manufacturers, you know, end up paying anyway? You know, by the time they get done with everything here, what's left over? It's crazy. Well, I'll tell you what, this man, Duncan Hunter, has got his head on straight. And he's playing fair, he's playing by the rules, he's playing on our side. All right, folks, I also want to direct you, if you will, I'm not sure about over at politicslobby4.com, but over at www.hernco.com, if you navigate your way through and find your way to my website, there is a letter on there. Now, I am firmly convinced that if a nut job like Howard Dean can raise millions of dollars strictly using the Internet, if he can get his message out and gain the support that he got years ago when he was running for president, just strictly by using the Internet, a whack job like Howard Dean can do what he did, then folks, what are honest, logical people like us going to be able to do? Okay, we are here. We are the Internet. All right, we can rule this, folks. We can take Mr. Duncan Hunter and drive him to the top, and there is no reason why not. Duncan Hunter has definitely got his head on straight. He is not promising us things that he cannot deliver. He is only promising us a fair shot and allowing us to deliver it to ourselves. It doesn't get any better than that, folks. It really doesn't. You know, talk about having your cake and eating it too. Duncan Hunter is the man. Did you lose me? Nope. Here we are. Okay, Presley, thank you very much. I still see you in there. Yes, anyone who wants to comment in here while we have this, you know, feel free to put your hand up. I will listen. You know, I will be checking it from time to time here and taking a look at what we got cooking. Some of the other principles he looks at. Now, obviously, one of the biggest ones that we have out there at this point in time has been border enforcement. All right? Let's face it. This room here has been set up over one of the biggest issues of our time. We are fully aware of the fact that our borders are wide open. It's crazy. You know, we led a campaign here to stop the amnesty bill way back when. Over 40,000 faxes went out from the people in this room. Telephone calls, messages, what have you. Folks, we did manage to stop the amnesty bill a couple of months ago. I give congratulations to everybody out there that took part in that. It was a wonderful thing that we did. You know, we're still on top of this. We are still making phone calls. We're still sending faxes. It keeps trying to sneak through little bits as riders on other bills that are going through the Congress. We're catching them at it. We're still doing it. It's a beautiful thing. But now, folks, it's time to do more than stop something. It's time to start something. It's time to start a campaign for Duncan Hunter. It's time for us to hit his website. At least let him know we're out there. Drop him an email. Put your email address on his alerts button. Know that you care. Mention Politics Lobby 4. Mention my name, Mark Belcher. Mention the Politics Cafe. Let him know that you are out there, that you have heard his message, and that you're standing behind him. I, for one, am there. You know, this is... I have never been so excited about a candidate. He's just the man. The border issue, in turn, you know, we started to talk about this a minute ago. The border is wide open. We all know this. Aside from the stream of illegal aliens that are coming over there and taking and doing nickel and dime jobs, and taking a lot of jobs away from our young folks out there that are trying to get a good start, taking a lot of jobs from men that have been working in service industries for quite a long time, yeah, we have the open border that is allowing anyone to get through. It's an open joke around the whole world that anybody wants to sneak into this country knows that the only place they got to get to first is Mexico. And the Mexicans don't care if you're coming through as long as they know you're headed for that northern border. You know, they'll even give you directions on where to go, how to, what's the easiest way across, where to get here. Is this insane or what? Now let's stop and think about this. Okay? We don't have a problem with legal immigration coming into this country. This is a country of immigrants. You know, each and every one of us that's listening here has some relative in the past that came from somewhere else. You know? Science lately has proven that the Native Americans that are here actually came from somewhere else. They weren't even the first people to populate this country. But there was another race of people here long before them. They quite possibly wiped out when they got here. But any way you look at it, this is a melting pot of cultures. It's a society based on immigration. It's a society based on where people who wanted to work were free to work at that which they wanted to work at, which they loved the most, which they wanted to do, and were able to make a good, solid living, raise families, and live the American dream. Think about that. What is the American dream? And who of all the candidates out there is actually looking at the American dream and trying to expand it, trying to bring it back from where it was? We know where we've lost it. We lost it through the income tax. We've lost it through many things. But we still have this problem down there on the border of open borders. We are at war. What is it going to take for any of the people who find this country an enemy of their collectivist ideology to come over here, sneak in through that southern border, and do us damage? Not to mention all the drugs that make their way across that border. Not to mention all the criminals that come across that border. All right, Bill, if you don't mind, if you would queue up the border video, love to hear everybody, you know, everybody just take a good listen to the border video. It's a good one. Duncan has got a plan on it. I think you may end up having to hit start there again. And go ahead for it.
I'm Congressman Duncan Hunter, running for the presidency of the United States, and I want to tell you about the border fence. You know, in the 1980s, the San Diego-Tijuana border was out of control, and through that number one smuggler's corridor in America, that area between San Diego, California, and Tijuana, Mexico, most of the smuggling of narcotics and people took place. Hundreds of thousands of people. Tons of narcotics were pushed through by the smugglers. It was a no man's land. We had armed gangs that roamed the border at night. They robbed. Sometimes they beat and raped the illegal aliens coming through. It was terrible. It was so bad that we actually had a plainclothes police force from San Diego that would hang around the border and wait to be attacked by the border gangs. And then they would pull their guns and there would be either a shootout or a series of arrests. And because of that no man's land and because of that massive smuggling, I built the border fence. First, we built a steel fence using desert storm type landing nets, big steel planks that we welded with using Army reservist welders to big steel poles, and we built that first fence across the San Diego-Tijuana border. You know, that stopped the drive-through drug people, the people who were bringing through lots of cocaine and marijuana in vans. It also stopped a lot of the vehicle-borne illegal alien smugglers. But we wanted to do better. And because of that, I wrote the law that was passed in 1996 that mandated a triple fence across the San Diego-Tijuana corridor. That means you would have a fence on the border, then a border patrol road, then a second fence, then another border patrol road, and yet a third fence. That would slow down and stop the smugglers and allow the border patrol. It was so effective, we never had to build that third layer. We have stopped and decreased by more than 90% the smuggling of people and narcotics across that number one smuggler's corridor between San Diego and Tijuana. You know something else? When we built the border fence, the crime rate in the city of San Diego, just a little to the north, dropped by FBI statistic by 53%. Well, this year, I wrote the bill that extends the San Diego border fence for 854 miles across the major smuggling routes of Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas. 854 miles. It's mandated that fence be constructed. And you know that that bill for the border fence passed the House by a very large margin. It passed the Senate by 80-19. President Bush signed it on October 26th. Now, you know, this is what the border looked like before we built the border fence in San Diego. This is what it looked like after we built the fence. The 854-mile extension of the San Diego border fence would bring that kind of stability to the entire border of the Southwest and would make America a lot more secure. Now, let me tell you, in my estimation, border security is no longer simply an immigration issue. It's also a national security issue. And let me tell you why. In 2005, we caught 155,000 people coming across the border from Mexico who weren't citizens of Mexico. They came from virtually every country in the world, including 1,100 people from communist China and a few people from North Korea and Iran. Very simply, everybody in the world knows that the way you get into America illegally now is no longer coming through the airports because they've been blocked to illegal travel. If you want to get in illegally, you come across the land border between Mexico and the United States, and anybody with a few bucks can get to Mexico from any point in the world. Border enforcement is now a national security issue. So let's get back to the border fence. We passed it. The law that I wrote was passed and signed by the president last October. I picked up the phone and asked the Department of Homeland Security the other day how many miles of border fence they've done so far. So far, they've only completed 2 miles. It's time to build the border fence. And this is my commitment to you. If I'm elected president of the United States, I will finish the border fence, all 854 miles, in 6 months. It can be done very easily. You simply use multiple contractors starting at multiple points, and you do all the work in all the sections concurrently. We can do it. We're Americans. We know how to build fences. And you know something else? That will bring stability not just to our side of the border. It'll also bring stability to the south side of the border. You know something else? About 200 people, mostly illegal aliens, die of dehydration in the Arizona desert every summer. If we build that border fence, that's going to keep those smugglers from pushing those people across the line where they find themselves in 110-degree heat the next day and a number of them die. So there's a humanitarian aspect to building the border fence. I want you to join me in helping to build the border fence. Call up the Department of Homeland Security. Tell them that you want them to follow the law because it's the law that the fence shall be built. And once again, remember my commitment to you that I will complete the border fence in 6 months after taking the oath of office as President of the United States. Thanks for listening.
Well, there you have it, folks. The man is committed to building the border fence. Understands why we need a border fence. It doesn't get any better than that. Once again, I'm saying it. GoHunter08.com. Head over there, folks. Register on his website. Donate a couple bucks if you can. And also, head over to PoliticsLobby4.com and see if Willie... I don't know if Willie's got it up over there yet, but there will be at some point in time a letter tonight. Every single one of us out there opens our email on a daily basis, and some friend out there has sent you a prayer. And on the bottom of the prayer is... Send this to 5 friends, and you will have good luck in 24 hours. Send this to 10 friends, and you will have good luck in 12 hours. Send this to 20 friends, and you will have good luck in 6 hours. Send it to everyone on your list, and you will have good luck in 1 hour. Well, folks, send this to everyone on your list, and you will live in a free country for the next 8 years. That's what we're looking at here. Take this letter. I've written it out here. I'm pretty sure it should be up over at Politics Lobby 4 if Willie's got it up there. If not, I'm sure Bob has it up over at www.herntco.com. Copy and paste this letter into one of your email one of the text message parts on your email, and just send it to everybody you know. Please. Okay. All right. Bob's going to take another 10 minutes. Okay, Bob. No problem. They're going to be around here for another hour. But folks, this is what it's going to take. You know, I'm not asking you to look for some pie-in-the-sky dream. I'm not asking you to try to hit the lottery. I'm not asking you to go out and look for good luck. I'm asking you to think of your own self-interest. I'm asking you to think about your country. Think about the freedom and the liberty that you cherish and hold so dear. The fact that you're the one that gets to choose where you work at. That you're the one that gets to choose who you do business with. That you get to choose which products you will buy. That you get to choose who you deal with and who you don't deal with. The deals that you can walk away from. Think about being able to go out there and buy insurance where you want to. You know, Duncan Hunter's got himself a very, very good policy on insurance. A really, really good one, folks. If you stop and think about it, and you look at exactly what he's doing, and I will dial it up here real quick. He's got a, you know, a very, very good. Let me just flip down here a little bit. Okay, healthcare reform, and this is where he's coming from. Now, this is something I didn't know about before reading his site. And a couple of things had made me wonder before, but he has cleared it up here. And I'm going to go through his policy on healthcare reform. Now, he believes that our healthcare system and its challenges need to be addressed in a new way that empowers our strongest asset in controlling the spiraling cost of healthcare. And that is the U.S. consumer. That's you, folks. Okay? You know, out there, most people are looking at you as consumers. All right, well, as you know, healthcare costs in the United States are increasing over 30% faster than the rest of the economy and will consume 17% of our GDP by 2011. Well, you know, as a side note, the U.S. spends less than 4% of our GDP to provide for the national security of this great nation. This level of spending and inflation makes our current system very unsustainable, and real reforms are going to be necessary as our population ages. Now, he's absolutely correct here, okay? But the level of spending and inflation is being driven by government mandates, okay? And it's been driven by government meddling with our healthcare system for the past 40 years. All right? Now, since World War II, when employer-sponsored healthcare became a more widely offered employee benefit, spending has increased from 5% of GNP to 16% today. Now, systematically, the eye of the healthcare consumer has been removed from the marketplace. And what he means by that is just that. Okay, the government has stepped in and started making the decisions for you. You know, with the old liberal mantra going right behind it, that people are too stupid to make up their own minds and that the government has got to be empowered to make up your decisions for you because they don't think you're smart enough to do it. Now, that's the mantra of every single Democrat out there. And every liberal will tell you that right up front, that people need to be taken care of by them because the rest of us are too stupid. Now, those of you who are not insulted about this, and I am highly insulted by this whole thought, had better think twice about it. Because they are slapping you in the face and telling you that you were too stupid to make up your own mind about what it is you need to do. Well, that's the wrong answer. Okay? You know, the solution for this is for the consumer to purchase their own health care choices. Therefore, he proposes three major reforms that will bring the consumer back into the health care equation. Number one, and this is one I didn't realize we didn't have, and that's the freedom to buy health insurance across state lines. The freedom to make informed health care choices, and freedom to innovate to save money and improve medical outcomes. Now, under current law, individuals and small businesses are required to purchase health care plans that are offered in their state of residency. Now, therefore, the health insurance customer is held hostage to the state legislators and regulators, which impose an increasing number of mandates on the market. For example, the average individual policy in the state of New Jersey costs $6,046 per year for a family of four. And while a similar policy in Iowa costs a third of that, or $1,965. Now, this disparity in health insurance premiums costs can largely be attributed to the level of mandates imposed by the respective states. New Jersey insurers are required to cover 41 mandates, including chiropodists and occupational therapists, versus the 23 mandates imposed by the state of Iowa. Families and small businesses in New Jersey should be allowed to shop across state lines for the health care policy that best meets their needs, avoiding systems that encourage mandates, which also means that you get to figure out what needs you have and not have to pay for a lot of stuff that you may end up never needing, that you know damn well you will never need. All right, make informed health care choices through public disclosure. Now, today, when you decide to make a purchase, you know, of a car or some other thing, you know, you're empowered through easy access of information to find the best deal. You know, just a couple of clicks on a mouse, you can find clear and concise information on the vehicle that you're buying, or anything else. You can get the price, the reliability, the upgrades, customer reviews, the maintenance costs. Well, sadly, this same level of information is denied to those seeking to purchase health care. You know, this lack of information keeps the consumer patient hostage to the false market that has been negotiated between the hospital and the insurance company. Consumers should be permitted to find the highest quality of care for the lowest price. Therefore, hospitals and other health care providers should be required to place their fee schedules online or otherwise make them readily accessible for potential customers. This return of market forces, open competition, and empowered consumer will result in falling health care costs and rising health care quality, which means simply, folks, we're going to take it out of the hands of the government and put it back in the market where it belongs. That's where it belongs. Okay, my friend Bill, you're going to comment on this. Go right ahead, my friend. Then we're going to the break.
All right, thank you, Mark. This is Bill from Arkansas. Great show you have going here. More and more I look at Mr. Hunter, the more and more I see that this guy has his priorities in line. He knows where he's going. He knows where we need to be. He knows the past. And he knows the rough road that we've been down and how to get us back. Former Army Ranger, he knows war. He understands war. He's been serving this nation since 1980. He knows politics. He knows it inside out. So we get the best of both worlds with this guy. Intelligent. He's self-driven. Takes care of our military. Makes sense. He makes sense of it all. These videos that you're showing today and the other comments that are, and videos that you can see on his webpage, he makes it clear and so simple and so easy. Healthcare. What is the government doing in healthcare? They have no business in healthcare. I haven't seen the government run anything correctly yet. So right on, Mark. I'm right with you. Mr. Hunter, good job. I'm right behind you. Thanks again, Mark.
My pleasure. No, I mean, it's exactly it. I have yet to see a candidate out there that had the same powers of observation and deduction. You know, he's been able to observe the different situations, deduce what's going wrong with it, and come to a logical conclusion. All adds up to intelligence to me. And you know what's the nice part about it is? I may not have his intelligence, but he's smart enough to at least give me enough facts that I can understand it. And that is something that a lot of other ones out there won't do. Hillary Clinton won't do that for you. She's just going to tell you, don't you worry, we'll take care of it. I have a plan that will address those. We will get together in a room and solve that problem. You hear Duncan out there saying, oh, he's going to form committees to do this, get committees to do that? No. Duncan Hunter has taken a look at it himself and is leading the way. And I've said this before, that the next guy to come along that's going to get my vote is going to be somebody who is leading. That's what we want. Folks, you are listening to the Politics Cafe, www.hernco.com and the ASI Radio Network. We're going to take a few minutes break here, allow our sponsors to be the capitalists they are, sell some goods, advertise a few items. And, folks, while you're listening, I invite you to go to GoHunter08.com. Take a peek. Take a stroll through his website. It's a very well-put-together website, very easily accessible. He's got all of his issues on there. He's got something to say about all of them. And we will be right back. You're listening to the Politics Cafe. We'll be right back, folks.
Meeting new friends online can be hard to do at times. Chatting to complete strangers, showing cams with each other, and even sharing music. Can all this be done safely? No spyware. Viruses attached to my computer. Absolutely. Pal Talk lets you chat, video cam, share music with family and friends, including free chat rooms where you can talk to each other about any topic that is on your mind. There is a category for everyone. Which one are you in? Find it on Pal Talk today. www.paltalk.com. www.paltalk.com.
In a time where good and evil have become completely distorted, one bright ray of light shines through. Politics Lobby 4. a modern-day battle of epic proportions. One light, many voices. Frontline with Kit Burke. The Politics Cafe with Mark Belcher. And the Extreme Point with Randy Wright. Good versus evil. Light against dark. And fact versus fiction. Stay informed, arm yourself, and prepare for the battle. www.politicslobbyfor.com. Now is the time. ASI. Audio. Are you ready? Video. Interactive. And you can catch it all. That's right. At ASI.
Ladies and gentlemen, do you enjoy spending time with everyone's favorite self-appointed activist judge? If so, you'll want to visit www.politicslobby4.com. That's www.politicslobby4.com. Once there, if my show is on the air, you'll be able to click on a link and be brought directly into the chat room from which the show is being hosted. You'll have access to streaming video and polls via the Politics Lobby site, and you'll have a chance to interact with your favorite activist judge via text. So do your jury duty and visit www.politicslobby4.com and tell them Chief Justice Randy Wright sent you.
You're listening to the Politics Cafe with Mark Belcher. Coming to you from Politics Lobby 4, join us at www.politicslobby4.com. That's www.politicslobby4.com. Or join us live in the Social Issues and Politics section at PopTalk.com. We'd love to see you there.
Try forgetting. I completely forgot about the missing files from Vince Foster's office, Chinagate, the Madison Guarantee swindle, money for pardons. It's all just gone. Thanks to Try Forgetting, I believe there really is a vast right-wing conspiracy that makes Bill jump into the sack with all those girls.
Here's the best part. I even forgot that Hillary stood by her husband even when she learned that he'd raped Juanita Broderick. Thank you, Try Forgetting. Thank you, DNC Pharmaceuticals. I definitely recommend Try Forgetting to all my fellow Democrats. It made the difference between... What was I saying?
Side effects are generally mild and include nausea, dizziness, and loss of self-esteem. In more severe cases, side effects include delusions of victory, irrational exuberance, and the complete suspension of rational judgment.
Try Forgetting. Whatever it takes to win.
Are we back? We're back. Folks, you're listening to the Politics Cafe, www.herncode.com and the ASI Radio Network. Brought to you from Politics Lobby 4, Secure Our Borders Voice Room. On Pal Talk. A quick side note here. One of our fellow chatters in the room here has had a terrible loss. They didn't give me your name. Everyone's calling you Red. But Red, I want you to know that you are in our our prayers. It's a very, very tough thing to lose someone at a young age. Now, our kids and our grandkids are supposed to bury us, not the other way around. But you will be remembered in our prayers. Please understand that. And please accept our condolences. All right, folks, we're moving on. Tonight's show is all about the presidential candidate going by the name of Duncan Hunter. A man. I just can't say enough about him. he is probably, I think, the single greatest candidate that I've seen since Ronald Reagan. And I think personally, he's better than Ronald Reagan in one great big word. Man has no problem using the word I instead of we. It was the only problem I ever had with Ronald Reagan. He always used the word we, you know, where he meant I. I always wanted to walk up to Ronald and say, Ronnie, do you have a mouse in your pocket? What's this we stuff anyway? But, you know, Duncan, I like Duncan Hunter for many, many reasons, including the fact that he's just so logical. You know, he's just got his finger on the pulse of things. And I've never seen anybody with the powers of observation and deduction like him. You know, he observes situations, he looks at them from all angles, he makes a few deductions as to exactly what is going wrong. And I'll tell you something, if you can attack any problem and see what it is that's wrong, fixing it usually becomes pretty easy. And that's exactly what he's doing here. He understands the government getting into healthcare has messed it up the way it is. You know, and the best idea here is to get government out of it. Empower the people out there. You know, it's a beautiful thing. What's Hillary's health care plan? Well, she's going to force everybody out there to buy insurance. That's what it is. And, of course, she will mandate to the insurance companies what they're going to cover, which would be every possible thing that could possibly happen to you anywhere at any time, including a host of therapists out there. You know, therapists, the unproven, you name it. You know, especially the ones that are going to come in. What is your problem? How do you feel? Well, how do you feel about that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, yes, there's my bill over there. It's $500. Oh, you have insurance? Okay. You can see this going on here. You know, meanwhile, you're sitting out in an emergency room with a broken ankle, wondering when you're going to get looked at. You know, hurt on the job. You know, just go to Canada or go over to Great Britain and figure out, you know, you want to see what nationalized health care will do? You know, I'm sorry, but these people are just going down the wrong road here. No doubt about it. Duncan Hunter, on the other hand, obviously can see what's going on out there. And allowing the marketplace to step back in and move forward, not a problem. I would like to see Hunter address the fact that, what the Clintons did a few years ago by limiting the number of doctors going into the marketplace, driving the prices up. I'd like to see him address that and reverse that role altogether. Now, Duncan has already stated here that he's going to take money away from the National Endowment of the Arts and sink it into education for the arts. And personally, I can see him heading down the same road with a whole lot of other things. How many times out there have you heard about money being spent to study this situation, or money being spent to study that situation? You know, or money being spent for consultants over here to figure out this problem for you. You know, I'm sure that Duncan Hunter, like myself, is seeing the same thing. Well, you know, we're already spending money out there for colleges. Now, these colleges are all enlisted to do research in any number of fields. Why not take that same money and put it into the college where it'll be some good? Or put it into four or five different colleges and see if you can't get four or five different situations. Let them all know they're competing with each other and that we're going to take the best idea. Competition, once again, comes into play. Open market, once again, comes into play. You know? And in the end, you're going to find people coming out of our education system who are willing to grab the bull by the horns and go with it. And you know why? Because you've got a guy like Duncan Hunter in there that's going to keep your marketplace open. It's going to allow stuff to happen out there in the marketplace. When people come up with good ideas for the problems facing society, let's face it, what's our biggest problem right now? Our waste. The pollution. Things of this nature. Think Duncan doesn't have an eye on this? You betcha he does. You better believe he does. And how are you going to empower that to get fixed? Education. That's how it's going to fix. You know, by letting companies like Waste Management go out into the marketplace and deal with it. Waste Management has become one of the best investments that people could have made over the last 20 years. Look at what they're doing out there. Turning your trash into energy and into other usable products. Recycling practically everything out there. These are people who are looking at our landfills as treasure troves. You know, places nobody wants to see. Everybody's got big fences built up around them. 20-foot high hedges so we can't see what's going on behind them. But waste management's going in there and it's digging them things out. And it's finding what's good down there, what can be used out of it, what can be recycled. They're looking at it as a natural resource instead of something to be shunned, hidden, capped, done whatever with. You know, I'm sorry, but this is the future, folks. Duncan Hunter is looking into the future. Understands full well that the education that is necessary for this is going to be, it's going to be happening. It's going to happen right here in this country. All right, my friend Bill, you've got your hand up there again. Go right ahead.
Thanks again, Mark. As you mentioned at the beginning of the show, Duncan Hunter isn't being heard, and his message isn't putting out there. I have a question for the people in the Politics Lobby 4 auditorium and those of your listeners. Why do you think that is? Why is he not getting the attention he deserves when he's right on so many subjects? When it comes to conservatives, this guy is right down the middle. He's perfect. He's a conservative. Second question, what can we do about it? What can each of us do about it to get this guy's message out, to let people know that this is the candidate, this guy needs to be listened to, and that he has the ideas? What can we do? Go ahead, Mark.
All right. First question, why he isn't out there? You answered that question because he's the most conservative. Who's the one that they're pushing the most out there? Where is the major media pointing all of its guns right now? Oh, Rudy Giuliani. Now, I don't have anything against Rudy Giuliani. Don't get me wrong here. And if it comes down to where Rudy Giuliani gets the nomination, which I'm hoping not, because that's exactly what I'm working against here. And it's not so much that I'm working against Rudy. I like the guy. I think he did a wonderful job on 9/11 in New York City. He's got a few quibbles about him, though. You know, I don't really like where he stands on gun control. Don't like his stance on abortions. You know, I made my stance on abortions clear right at the top of the show tonight. Now, the reason he's not getting out there, well, let's face it. What do we have dealing with out there? We have a liberal media. Make no doubt about it. And if they're going to push anyone, they're going to push the most liberal candidates from both sides of the aisle. Over on the left side of the aisle, obviously, the one biggest communist that they got there, Hillary Clinton. Make no mistake about it, folks, and I have no problem calling the woman a communist. All right? She is doing exactly everything by the Marxist playbook. You know, it's as if, she, you know, her Bible has been the Communist Manifesto. It's the name of the book I'm looking at here. And I've read that book years ago. I know what it's all about, so don't sit there and tell me I'm unread. You know, any of you liberals out there who try to say, oh, he doesn't know what it's all about. There's some good things in there. No, there isn't. It plays to the bottom. All right, so that's simple. But at any rate, the media out there has taken from the right side of the aisle the most liberal candidate they could find. And, of course, now seeing as how they've already basically anointed Hillary, the nominee for the Democratic Party, they also think they're going to pick somebody that's too liberal for any of the Republicans to vote for. Now, they may pick wrong on this, but don't forget, who is it that we're after out there? You know, the silent majority. The people that elected Richard Nixon once upon a time. The same people that elected Ronald Reagan. We want the Reagan Democrats. We want people who obviously know the difference between right and wrong. We want people out there who want the opportunity to make their own decisions in life. All right, now, am I going to sit here and tell you that Giuliani would take that away from you? No. No, I wouldn't say that at all. But is Giuliani going to work to close the borders down? Is Giuliani going to work for fair trade deals around the world? You know, we know Giuliani has got himself a good stance on the war on terror. Where's Duncan at on the war on terror? Yeah, very good question. And as a matter of fact, we do have a video on the war on terror, and I think we should bring that video up right now. Now would be a good time to bring up what Duncan's got on the war on terror. Okay. Which, oh, by the way, before the video comes up, over at www.hunterco.com, we have links to his website, and we posted a letter up there. Folks, it's a letter that I ask you to go over there, copy and paste it into your email, and send it off to everybody that you know. You know, let them know. They're not going to get lucky with anything in the next 12 hours, and they're not going to get rich in the next hour. But what they are going to have is a good guardian for the, you know, for the concept of liberty over the next 8 years. That's what we're looking to do here. All right. Have we got the screen up and ready to cook there? All right, go right ahead. Video of War on Terror, please.
Chairmanship for the last 40.
Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals down in the South is looking at overturning the convictions of Ramos and Compion, and it's looking pretty good. They could get out. On top of that, Duncan Hunter has sent a letter to President Bush asking once again that he extend a pardon to these two fellows that were just doing their job, just protecting our border. All right, now, Graham, maybe they got a little heavy in it, but I personally, does anybody in this room have a problem with that? Does anybody listening out there have a problem with us protecting our borders, with our Border Patrol doing their job? No. No, I'm sure you don't, and I certainly don't. Okay, folks, we have the red dots are off here, and I'm going to open up the room for conversation. I want to thank everybody for listening the way they have tonight. I do actually have a couple more announcements here to make, and this one here is for our soldiers over there. And let me make sure I can find it. I think I ended up closing it. At any rate, if you Google up knitting helmet liners, that's K-N-I-T-T-I-N-G, helmet liners. There's a real good site out there for you ladies that like to knit. They are looking for helmet liners. Our troops are going into the winter over there. And they're giving you a good plan on there on how to knit up a very nice liner that will go over their heads, underneath of their helmets, keep the guys warm. Okay, yes, it's out in the desert, but deserts do get cold. Iraq is a big country, sits a little further north than a lot of people think, and winter is coming over there just like it's coming here. So help these guys out over there with that. Also, there was one other one that I had here, and I do want to take a fast look at this one here. My buddy Mike has just sent this one over to me. You know, there were a lot of people complaining in the State Department about volunteering for Iraqi posts. Well, evidently some of the people are stepping up for it. This is by Amy Doolittle, and it's over on FederalTimes.com. Foreign service officers late last week had volunteered for about half of the 48 Iraq posts that need to be filled next year, according to State Department sources, prompting speculation the department may not need to resort to the directed assignments if threatened. About 200 mid to upper level officers were notified late last month that they could be called to serve 1-year deployments in Iraq if they don't volunteer. The department said it needs to find 48 volunteers by November the 13th, or it will issue directed assignments to fill the vacancies. Department spokeswoman said the state will announce this week how many volunteers it has and whether directed assignments will be necessary. Now, some officers have said they would quit or retire rather than accept a direct assignment to a post in Iraq. Only officers with serious medical conditions or who lack the proper clearance can be excused. Others who refuse to go could be fired. All right, just so you know out there. Representative Duncan Hunter, a ranking member on the House Armed Services Committee, says he has little sympathy for foreign service officers who are resisting the call to serve in Iraq. Reluctant state employees should be replaced with wounded warriors recovering at Walter Reed and Bethesda Medical Centers, he said. Thank you, Hunter. Very, very smart. We know he's on top of this. When the State Department appears to be filled with reluctant personnel, let's turn to those who have bravely followed the American flag in the most dangerous of assignments. Thank you once again, Duncan Hunter. I'll tell you, I love this guy. Talk about a leader. Talk about a leader in a time of need. And this country has never been in greater need, folks. You know, we are on the verge of heading down a crossroad. We are coming to a fork in the road in this country. Okay, and that fork is either going to go hard left or it's going to go to the right. Do you really want this country to take that road down the left, down the road to despotism, down the road to socialism? down the road to where, you know, the old equalization that just brings everybody down in the mud. No, I don't think we want to do that far. So, yeah, I'm preaching to the choir here, unit, but I got 80,000 listeners out there right now, and I want them all to understand that I am behind Duncan Hunter. I want them all to go to GoHunter08.com. Register on the website. Let them know you heard about us on the Politics Cafe. Let them know that Mark Belcher has gotten behind Duncan Hunter 100% and is going to stay there until the man is elected. And that, my folks, is my pledge to him, my pledge to you. I am behind him. I have picked my horse in this race, so to speak. There's no doubt about it. And we have got a winner. He is the most conservative person that is running on all of it. And, folks, we are behind him. And I'm urging all of you out there now to go over to www.gohunter08.com. I'm also urging you to go to www.hernco.com. Find my part on that website. Hit the links over there. Download the letter and use it just like a chain letter. You know, all them letters that you always get every day that says, here, send on 10 copies of this letter and receive special prizes from the unknown. Well, copy this letter down and send it off to all your friends and ensure the blessings of liberty for the next few years. All right. Okay, folks. I am going to open up for conversation here. I'm about out of it for this point here. I could go on expounding on Duncan Hunter all night. I am totally behind the guy. But after all, this is partly your show. So, waiting for a big show of hands over here. I'm not seeing anything going up. Perhaps it's me. But, my buddy Bill, to the rescue. Thank you, sir. I needed a drink in a bad way.
Hopefully I can stall long enough to get you that drink. Maybe you've made it clear to a lot of us here, and I hope Mr. Hunter is, or one of his aides is listening to you tonight. Excellent program. What can you say about the guy? You can search him continually. You can't find anything wrong with him. You can't knock him. Except that maybe he's too conservative. Oh, that's not a bad thing. Also, BBS, I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about your little phone call that you made today. I think they're going to be kind of interested in that.
That's a good one. Yeah, no, after you performed this, on my second try today, I actually got through to Rush Limbaugh. I asked Rush Limbaugh the same question. I said, Rush, why is it that the most conservative person that we can find out there, Mr. Duncan Hunter, is not getting that much attention on your show? Now, Rush basically told me the same exact thing that my wife told me. He said, you know, well, look, the man is a journalist. He's a commentator. And he's waiting to see who it is that comes out on top. And Rush said he's waiting for these guys to pull themselves up by their bootstraps. And he will get behind the winner. He said he doesn't get too involved in the primaries. Which, you know, I listen to Rush, you know, for the most part every day. Well, every day that I can. I won't say every day. I get busy sometimes. But, that's where Rush is standing at this point. At any rate, you know, I went into it, and I at least let all of Rush's listeners know that there is a candidate out there. They do have a choice. You know, it's not coming down between totally liberal in the case of Hillary Clinton or semi-liberal in the cases of some of the others running on our ticket. You know, it's I'm looking at everything that's going on out there. You know, and it's kind of like Rudy is on top for the most part. I mean, you know, the mainstream media have picked them. They basically anointed him. You know, but some of the polls are saying otherwise. You know, we got Ron Paul running pretty high in the polls up in New Hampshire. You know, and that would be a disaster for this country. I mean, not that I don't like a lot of Ron Paul's domestic issues. I think he hit some spot on the head. But as far as what's going on in the rest of the world and blaming us for bringing on 911, sorry, that man's totally out of line. Totally out of line that way. You know, Rudy may do a good job on war on terror. Rudy may do a good job getting the federal budget balanced. You know, economic-wise, he might be a very good thing, extending the tax cuts. You know, Rudy's got his head on straight with a lot of this. But Rudy is not as conservative as the rest of us. I don't like to worry about what Rudy is going to do with the Second Amendment. I don't even want to think about it. I like the fact that Duncan Hunter there is not going to touch it and will probably work to uphold it. That's what I'm looking for. You know, I want somebody that's going to get behind the Constitution the way it stands. And that is none other than Duncan Hunter. Bill, you got your hand back up. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention he is the most conservative person we have running for the Republican Party. I want you to remember one dark horse wasn't too long ago who wasn't doing too well at the beginning of the campaign. Didn't look like he had much chutzpah, so to speak. Little-known candidate. Not too many people listened to him. And that person became President of the United States, and his name was Ronald Reagan. So if you're thinking it can't be done, you're wrong. It can be done. You just have to have enough voices speaking out loud enough. And I think we have 40, 50,000 people listening to this show. One voice is one voice, but many are what we are. All of our voices together can make a lot of noise. And I know coming from Politics Law before, we can make a lot of noise. Matter of fact, we're pretty good at it. BB, great show you're having today. I'm really enjoying it. I wish more people would come up here and talk, though. We got a lot of people here in Politics Lobby, number four, but no one seems to want to talk. I guess they're just shy. Thanks again, Mark.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you very much. Hey, I got something to ask you, but I'm going to let Mr. Rizzo, who has got his hand up, go first. But I will come right back, and I got a question for you. There, Mr. Rizzo, my friend, glad to see you tonight. The mic is all yours.
I oftentimes wondered, and thank you, Mark. Great show. It always is. Seems redundant, but I wanted to add that. When I look at someone to fulfill a position that I am directly involved in, we are the employers. What does an employer do before they hire someone? Don't they ask for a resume? And most, isn't that how the process starts? Let's take a look at Duncan Hunter's resume and compare it to the other candidates. And we're not going to engage any bashing or say anything bad about any other candidate. Let's just simply look at the resume of Duncan Hunter. And let's look at what he's bringing to the table. Is he someone that answers questions with hems and haws, and I agree with him, but I don't? And again, I'm going back, and I must admit, Hillary Rodham Clinton did not answer a specific question by Tim Russert in a manner that I thought was truthful. That since, obviously, she's made up for that guffaw. But Duncan Hunter presents to me, as a citizen of this country, a resume that is, for all practical purposes, impeccable. He is going to be tough on borders. He is going to continue to look at the dangers that we face from international terrorism. Is he the prettiest face? Probably not. Is he the best speaker? Probably not. But does this man put forth a resume that any reasonable American would look at, regardless of their political affiliation, and if they were indeed to use the thinking, questioning mind that I believe the vast majority of Americans have, this is the man. This is the man. He is a complete open book. He has no skeletons in his closet. You ask him a question, he will answer it. He's a very personable man. And he's a man that cares about his country. He served his country and served it well in a very difficult position. Anyone that is familiar with Ranger training will know what I'm talking about. His son is now taking a second tour in Iraq. This guy is a believer in America. This is a man that is going to give us direction. As Zal Miller suggested in his 2004 speech at the Republican National Convention, and he was talking about Mr. Kerry at that time, he's not going to give you a yes, no, maybe, or a bowl of mush. This man is going to do what he says he's going to do. This is a man that you can believe in. If this man says that those borders are going to be closed within 6 months of his becoming president, you can take that to the bank. I'd also make my friend convinced for making me aware of this candidate. I was still in the process of saying I'm not sure, so forth and so on. But my friend convinced, brought this candidate to my attention, and I looked at him very, very closely. And BB, I think you have brought to this room, excuse me, Mark, and to your listeners, exactly what this man is all about. And I indeed would like all of our listeners and all of those here in Politics Lobby 4 to take a long look at this particular candidate. He personally fulfills everything that I am looking for in a candidate for President of the United States, for Commander-in-Chief of Armed Forces. And I want to thank you, Mark, for giving me the opportunity to speak on this issue.
Oh, my pleasure, Mr. Rizzo. I liked your whole analogy with your resume. That was beautiful. It is absolutely correct, you know, and that's what we're doing here for him. You know, the mainstream media is not going to put out there what we're going to put out there. The American public will not hear everything about this man. And that, to me, is the biggest crime. And I have, you know, and like I say, folks, please, you know, don't get me wrong here. I am doing this in my own self-interest. Okay, I want to live in a free country. I want to live in a country that has a president there that has my interests at heart. A country that has a free market that allows you to make choices in your daily life. Allows me to make those choices in health care. Keeps the devil at bay overseas so that I'm free to make the choices that I want to make. That I can work the jobs that I want to work at. That I can do business with who I choose. Even if it means going over state lines to buy health insurance. That's what it's all about, folks. I'm not asking you to vote for somebody out there that may or may not have your interests in mind. I'm asking you to vote for yourself. Vote for Duncan Hunter. He is on your side. And that's what it's all about here, folks. You know, we want to bring out his resume. As far as how he answers questions, well, folks, you hang in here every Monday night. I've got a lot of loyal listeners been listening to this show in 2 weeks on December the 10th. I believe that's 2 weeks. I could be wrong. I can't count. on December the 10th, here at the Politics Cafe, Politics Lobby for Secure Our Borders Voice Room, we will have Mr. Duncan Hunter live in the room. It has been scheduled with his staff. We got it lined up. And, yes, folks, you will be able to talk to him and ask him questions directly. And, you know, it's funny. I went over the, you know, what with his campaign manager. You know, whether or not he wanted certain questions spoken about, you know, whether he wanted me to ship him a list of questions, which is what I was asked by the Giuliani campaign. They wanted to know exactly what I was going to ask him. And, you know, please send him a written resume of everything there. And Duncan Hunter's campaign says, you can ask him anything. He'll answer it. He's not scared of any question whatsoever. And I was like, man, I was taken aback when they told me that. Mr. Gary Becks, one of his campaign managers there, and Gary just said, Gary told me, he says, Mark, you can talk to him any way you want. Ask him any question you have on your mind, and he will answer it for you. You might not like his answer, but he's going to tell you the truth. Well, folks, you're all going to get that choice. All right, I got a question for my buddy Bill out here. Bill, rumor mill is grinding hard that you have a show coming up next week, starting on November the 28th on a Wednesday night. Going to broadcast here out of the room. Must step up and tell us a little bit about your show, which, by the way, you're starting up on my birthday, so that's going to be a good luck day for you, and I wish you the best, but tell us a little bit about it.
Well, happy birthday, my friend. Yeah, it'll be starting in a week on Wednesday. It'll be called America Today Live. What it is we're bringing back an old show. We've been on hiatus for about 2 years of a show that we ran for about 5 years. And we mostly deal with social issues and issues that plague our country and dive really deeply into one subject or another, whether it be abortion, civil rights, racism, whatever it is. It's no holds barred. There's nothing we won't delve into. And when I say we delve into it, I mean we get deep into it. We bring up all the facts from both sides. And it basically shows that, from what we've learned, that most social issues can be solved in a way that the government doesn't have to get involved in it, which is a kind of interesting take on it. It can be moving. At times we do try and rip the tears out of your face. At times we try and be funny. My co-host Sammy and I always try and make it entertaining. The number one thing that we stress in our show is audience participation. whether it's coming up and talking on the show and stating your opinions, or emails, or whatever, to let us know what you think about the show, how we can improve it, and what we can do. It's totally driven by the audience. It's what you want to hear, not what we want to tell you. Kind of different, huh? But anyway, thanks for the opportunity, Mark B. Mark, the show is America Today Live, and it'll be premiering next Wednesday. Appreciate it, sir. And congratulations on the interview. Big kudos.
Well, thank you, sir. And once again, I have my buddy Mike, Mr. Convinced, in the room here tonight to thank for helping me set that up. You know, Mike is a driving force. Very quiet guy here, but when he opens his mouth, people listen. And can't appreciate people like him more. He's been a good friend. Known the guy for a few years here. You know, he came over from Yahoo over to Pal Talk with the rest of us. And, been a total asset. And he's an asset to the country. Thank you, Mike. Thank you very, very much. All right. Geez, we're getting pretty close to the top of the hour here. What else did I have lined up at her? I think we covered all the bases here tonight. Well, folks, I'm just going to shout it out one more time. Duncan Hunter for president. GoHunter08.com. It's a place you want to go. You want to get over there. You want to take a look at what he's got to offer. Read thoroughly through his site. Next week I'm going to come back again. We're going to give a little more, go a little further in depth on some of the issues, and all of it. And just really, like I said, I am behind this man until it happens. I really am. I have not seen a candidate who more fulfills the conservative agenda, my agenda, more than Duncan Hunter. You know, I like the man. You know, I would take issue with Mr. Rizzo on one thing. I do think he speaks very well. I really do. I don't. He doesn't stumble over any of his words, and I think he knows how to pronounce nuclear. no positions on Mr. Bush. You folks in here have all battered me at one point or another for standing behind Mr. Bush on darn near every subject. You know, the only place that him and I, well, we've disagreed on two things. A, what's going on the border, and B, the goofy steel tariffs that he tried to get behind there. You know, thank God the Supreme Court shot him down on that. But, Mr. Bush has been a good president. He really has. I mean, there are a couple of things that the rest of us have dropped the ball on. Bill, I like the idea of your show and its social content that's out there that can be fixed by the rest of us. That will be something that I'll be bringing up with Mr. Hunter. You know, I think Mr. George Bush's faith-based initiatives that got tossed to the wind. And I'll tell you what, I think a lot of us are to blame for that. I really do. I really think that a lot of us are to blame on the faith-based initiative thing getting lost out there. Because that's really what it's all about. You know, most social issues out there, I have found to be matters of faith. I really have. And I'm not, it's not always going to speak of religious faith in that, although, you know, it's a big part of it. But social issues and how to deal with them, you know, have been faith-based ideologies forever. Now, even if you're an atheist or an agnostic or whatever you want to call yourself, at some point in time, you're going to say that what the government should be doing, it should be doing for the common good or for the greater good. The greater good is the one I love. You know, there's something out there greater than yourself, greater than all of us. Blah, 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 blah. Well, I'm going to, you know, at the end of this, you know, you ask people to explain this greater good, and they always look you in the eye and they tell you the same exact thing. Well, something you have to believe in. If you don't understand it, I can't explain it to you. Well, if you can't explain it, then you don't have the words to explain it, which means you don't have the thoughts to explain it. Thoughts are words, okay? Words describe your thoughts, okay? And if you're asking me that something that I just got to believe in, well, aren't you telling me that I have to have faith? So isn't everything that you're trying to pronounce here a faith-based initiative? Well, the way I see it, you know, there is a big separation of religion and government, and it needs to be kept that way. And I think that as faith-based initiatives, we can take care of the social ills of this country without having the government involved. And I'll never forget that the government is nothing more than a powerful destructive force. A force that has the power to coerce people to do things against their will or to stop anyone from doing anything. That's all it is. It is a force that must be wielded very, very carefully. And most situations do not require it. All right, Mr. Rizzo, I must have offended you in some way. But the mic is all yours, my friend. Come back up.
Thank you, Mark. No, not if I've known you too long to be offended, but perhaps I need to clarify or qualify what I have said. I have heard many people suggest that they are going to vote for a particular candidate because they are female. I've heard many people suggest they're going to vote for a particular candidate because he is very good looking or he is a good dresser. I was simply suggesting that what is most important is how one, and this is, I think, has been true for a long time, as far as the personalities, et cetera, et cetera. I'm an issues type of a person, and Duncan Hunter addresses the issues. It has nothing to do with him being able to arouse a crowd. I don't think one would want to compare Zell Miller's 2004 speech at the Republican National Convention. That was a very powerful speech. And I certainly would like to see Duncan Hunter in the 2008 convention having the opportunity to give an acceptance speech where he accepts the nomination of his party for President of the United States. Thank you very much, my good friend Mark.
All right, you're welcome. All right, folks, once again, here we are. We have hit the top of the show. A little bit of a different scene going on here tonight. Instead of the maitre d' with his keys in the doors, tapping his foot, looking at me with an ugly eye, he's over in the computer. Over in the corner, staring at the screen, and he's got all of the waitresses gathered around him. They haven't bothered to pile up the chairs on the tables yet, and the lights are still pretty bright. Let's take a look over here. What do you see? They're looking at www.gohunter08.com. Well, mighty noble of them. I don't know if any of them think they're going to get a raise for doing this, but they're certainly going to preserve their freedom. There's no doubt about that. All right, folks, we've got to close up the show. Once again, folks, www.gohunter08.com, www.hernco.com. Download the letter, send it off to all your friends, register over at Duncan Hunter's website. Be a part of it here, folks. We are on a mission, and that mission is to get him into the Republican nomination and further on down the line as the President of the United States. All right, folks, you've listened to the Politics Cafe, www.hernco.com, and the ASI Radio Network, brought to you from Politics Lobby 4, Secure Our Borders Voice Room, on the Internet. Good night, folks. We'll see you all next week. Thanks for listening.